Couple of great geeks, Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet, on 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero super hosts, Anna Mae, Mistress of the Dork, and the man that never stops talking, Dave. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. So,
yes,
I believe that it is now time for Sucker Punch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, this is a movie that we have been very excited about for quite a while now, you know. We're going to spend definitely some time talking about Zack Snyder today because we love Zack Snyder. I think that he is one of the best action directors out there, for sure. And also, clearly, so does Warner Brothers, because we all know that he is going to be directing Superman Man of Steel.
Yes.
You know, this has been lauded as one of those movies that, you know, I think confused a lot of people in the trailers, because basically, you know, you have you know, girls dressed up in, you know, 1950s outfits,
40s, 50s
outfits, you know, fighting, you know, giant rock samurais with Gatling guns and, you know, dragons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's been it's one of those movies that it's very interesting to see kind of how people felt about the previews. You know, usually in Zack Snyder movies, you kind of see what you're going to get. You know, 300 is a perfect example. You know, 300, it's like based off of, you know, Frank Miller graphic novel that not a lot of people are very familiar with, but people understand things like Spartans.
Yeah.
You know, they understand war. They get that stuff. You know, that's very, very clear and very easy. And however some people felt about, you know, the cod pieces, the capes, and not much else, it was very clear what they were going for, and it was very awesome and very violent.
Of course, you know, like, I would feel like that might be kind of accurate. It's kind of like, you know, like the original, what was it, Greco-Roman wrestling? Like, you know, the original wrestling, they did naked.
They did do that naked.
You know,
yes.
It's like...
But you know why they did that? It wasn't just because, you know... Because
they like to ride around naked
together. That's the thing. I mean, and that's the
problem. No, of course, but that's not why.
But people believe that. I mean, that's what's so funny
that's
about it.
It's lame to believe that.
And it's really weird that the amount of, I mean, honestly, homophobia that's you know, in our culture. But the whole reason why they did that back in the day was because they were worried about people hiding weapons, which
right.
is what they used to do. And people would, you know, all of a sudden be wrestling.
Because they didn't have spandex back then.
Exactly. No one could see, and all of a sudden they pull out a knife and stab someone in the neck, and that stuff would happen. And so that's why they had to wrestle naked, because they were worried, you know, because people would kill for that.
It's back true. Then. I guess the Spartans would have wanted to hide weapons.
I mean, exactly. I mean, not in their afros, you know, like coffee.
That would be so cool.
That would be cool, yes. I don't know if the Spartans had a lot of afros, but maybe.
I want a zombie game where like you're like coffee and you're just you got all your
that
weapons in your afro. That would be the greatest
awesome.
Thing ever.
Oh my god, if
coffee
remade,
versus zombies,
if they remade coffee and fought zombies,
or not even remade it, if they did, you know, coffee, like, you know, it's modern day now and coffee gets caught in a zombie attack, you know, bring Pam Grier back to reprise her role as coffee.
Oh really,
and
you wouldn't recast coffee?
No, instead of fighting the man, just fighting the dead man.
But would you have like a her like daughter or
yeah
like
you could totally have her like daughter or
like
niece
coffee.
Also with an afro,
like,
that she
know,
hides her weapons in,
yeah, like coffee 2. But who would play this?
You'd
coffee?
Call her latte.
Oh, not funny, but I appreciate it nonetheless. But who would play this, you know, this other coffee? That's the question. I know you love the actress from Being Human.
No.
You think she should? No? Okay.
No.
Yeah, I don't know, but that would be actually kind of awesome. Coffee versus zombies. I would watch that.
Right?
Coffee, by the way, is probably my favorite blaxploitation film. When we did that blaxploitation show, I would say that's my favorite
We definitely
one.
Need to do
yeah.
blaxploitation part two,
I
because,
agree.
I mean, those movies are they're actually pretty incredible.
They're awesome. They're great movies. Yeah, I would say after coffee, it's probably Blackula.
Oh, my God.
It's like the greatest movie ever made.
You know,
much.
I think the biggest lesson that we learned from Blackula is that Dracula is a dick.
Dracula is a racist dick.
A racist
yeah,
dick.
He's a racist dick, yes. And also, maybe not a good idea to find some coffin in
yeah.
the basement and decide to make that your coffee table.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. I don't
Blackula
care how good of an interior decorator you think you are. A coffin, some random
yes.
coffin that you got
I know
from
it's
Eastern
the 70s.
Europe that, you know, you can't open.
Not a good plan.
Yeah,
yes, no,
bad
no.
idea.
Anyway, what were we talking about again? Oh, yeah.
Apparently, we were talking about coffee and zombies.
We were talking about Sucker Punch. Yes, that was what we were talking about. Okay, well, let's just get into it because I think that we both have our sort of own opinions about this, about Sucker Punch. And where do you start?
Okay.
what do you think about Sucker Punch anime?
Okay, I'm going to start off by saying I was incredibly excited for this movie. Yeah. And I came out of it. There was a lot of things that I was really pleased with coming out of it, but at the same time, I wasn't as happy with it as I thought I'd be.
Yeah.
You know, what it really proved to me was how amazing of a director Zack Snyder is. Mm-hmm. He is absolutely incredible at action directing, and he's just an incredible director in general. And he gets a lot of bang for his buck.
I agree with that.
The effects, the way things looked for the budget. You know, for any budget, was spectacular.
I totally agree with you.
The story itself, it's got its ups and downs. The problem is that it's very much in a dream world. The thing is, they kind of went Inception-y on it, where it's a dream world within a dream world.
Yeah.
So you start off in the real world, but then you go into one dream world where you're immediately also thrust into another dream world sometimes, and then you come out of that second dream world, and you're back in the first dream world, and then you don't re-enter the real world again until the very end.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I'll talk about it now. I didn't want to review this movie. The main reason I didn't want to review it is the fact that I love Zack Snyder. I was very excited for this movie, but after the movie ended, I remember I turned to you and said, this is his worst movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, it really is. I think that, like you said, the action is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are story elements that I really respect. I would say this movie is very ambitious.
Yeah.
He definitely tried to stretch his muscles and do something that had a little more what's the word? I think he wanted to do something that had a little more gravitas than some of the other stuff he had done. But I also think that's where it failed a lot of the way. I think that
It's really funny that I think the kind of feelings that he was going for, he actually got across better in the Legend of the Guardians movie.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Which is an owl movie, which we'll talk about a little later, and that movie is just freaking incredible.
Now, I would say, once again, we were talking about the fact the action's great, the special effects are great, but I gotta say, storytelling-wise, I was not impressed.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way that it sort of went into fantasy and then went into fantasy again.
Yeah,
it didn't really get
like,
much of an aspect of what the reality really was.
You know how, like, in Alice in Wonderland or The Wizard of Oz, you know, the most of it is in this kind of dream world, this false world.
Yeah.
Now, imagine if in those, the girl, the main character girl closed her eyes at one point and then had to fight, like, go into major fight battles, like, and those battles are a metaphor for fighting for survival.
Yeah.
But that was the thing. You close your eyes and you end up in yet another crazy world that's even more crazy than the one you were just in. And none of them are the real world. And so it made things a little convoluted in that way.
Very convoluted.
But I appreciate what he was going for. And I have to say, nice try for your first time, putting out a major motion picture that you did the screenwriting for. But I'd be interested to see what you try next, but I love your directing, and maybe you should stick with that.
I mean, that's the thing about it is,
don't quit your day job.
It was directed so well, but it just, the storytelling, I thought, failed so much, and I really, I feel bad saying it, but it's true, and I think the thing is about it is the fact that, how do I put this?
What I want to say, though, is that, the directing is so good and the action is so amazing that it is still worth seeing that action on the big screen. Like, that action looks amazing, and the look of it and the directing of it, and, you said the perfect thing when we were discussing it right after we saw it. You said, don't let the story get in the way.
The thing is, first off, it is also a
devastating story. It is a heartbreaking and devastating story. It is a tragedy. You come out of it upset.
It's funny because it's sort of negative escapism.
Yeah.
Like, the whole
movie, I don't want to escape there.
The whole movie's supposed to be about escapism, but it's not. It's about how messed up reality really is.
It's escaping to hell.
Yeah, and I think you had said a really good thing where, you thought it was going to be kind of a more bigger, like, empowering
triumphant
type of movie.
Triumphant, empowering.
And
it has elements of empowering, but not so much triumph.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, the thing was, why I didn't like it, the main thing was because I didn't really get a sense of what real reality really was. You know, none of the action scenes meant anything to me. You know, the thing about action, what makes action work really well, is that there's consequences. Mm-hmm. I think a perfect example is to bring up, God, why can't I think today?
I don't
to bring
know.
Up the, what's, Inception. Thank
okay.
you. To bring up Inception.
You're welcome.
I know, you didn't do anything. Thanks for nothing. The thing about Inception is, you know, they go into that dream world that he creates, right? But the whole deal is that they find out pretty quickly that if they die in that world, they're dead for real.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's huge consequences to that. Now, there are consequences that we get happens, you know, in the long run for
this
movie.
But you have to wait, like, really long into, after a few different, like, inner dreams have already gone through to find out that the consequences are that there can be real consequences.
Yeah, but you know what, you know, she's fighting like a giant samurai. Like, is it going to cut off her head? Like, what's going to happen in reality if that happens? Like,
yeah.
There's just stuff that, to me, it felt more like an excuse to have this kind of cool, you know, different pop culture fight scene. But there wasn't really much of a, like, a direct kind of consequence to what was going
on. Now, the argument for that is that the whole thing with these inner dreams is that the inner dreams are, like I said before, a metaphor. They are all metaphor for your fight for survival.
Yeah.
The thing is that it only works on certain levels,
yeah.
and it only works when you remind yourself, oh yeah, I'm watching a metaphor.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think that this story is actually probably would have been
better read than watched.
Exactly. It would have been a better, like, short story. It would have even been a better anime, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can be
a little manga
where you can be a little kind of more trippy. But you know, for a big $80 million budget action movie, I think that, you know, it just didn't work out the way I think they were planning to.
But again, the look of it, it's worth seeing on the big screen.
Yeah.
I mean, even if just to see what the guy that's going to be doing the next Superman movie can do. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely not one of my favorites. But by the way, the soundtrack is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It's
isn't
an amazing
it?
Soundtrack.
Yeah, that first fight where she fights the samurais and they use the Army of Me background without Bjork being like, that's sort of how she sings, right?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it's kind of a lot of shrieking. I don't really know if it's singing. Also, the very first scene when you see what gets her thrown into the asylum,
yeah.
but you know, the everything that happens, there's no talking. It's
yes.
all done with music, and it is amazing. It is beautifully directed.
Yes,
it's beautifully done, and
yes.
kind of wish more of the movie had been more like that.
Yeah,
I was just that like. That is one of the most heartbreaking few minutes that you'll see in a movie.
I agree.
It is, and the faces that Emily Browning makes,
yeah,
she gives the best scared, sad face.
Yes, and honestly, this is gonna sound
weird.
And
she does a lot of it through the movie.
But the camera really makes love to her. It's sort of like
make love to me, camera.
You know what? The way the camera reacted to Emily Browning in that movie actually reminded me of Amelie a lot.
Yeah.
Remember how Amelie really is a movie about how cute Audrey Tautou is,
yeah.
and how cute the thing she does. Is and that's really, like, you know, it reminded me of that a lot, like of how, like, the camera just loved her, like totally loved her. Don't forget, you can send us an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com.
So you want to just talk more about Zack Snyder? You want to, like, maybe...
Well, let me just say some other stuff that I actually liked about this movie.
Okay, good. I'm glad you have more that you liked.
Yes. Like I said before, I thought that some of the ideas were very, very interesting. I did think that these alternate reality worlds, and I thought some of the ways that that the story is put together and the reason why she was in there, I thought all of that was really interesting. I just think that it was a lot of parts that could have been put together in a more of an eloquent way.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got to say that it was funny because you see all these posters and you see some of the hottest chicks you've ever seen.
You see
Emily Browning, who you don't really know who she is, but, you know, she's super hot. You know, Abby Cornish she's getting big this year. You know, she was in that.
Well, now that
movie.
She's no longer with the guy that she helped home wreck.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Hollywood. People get over that pretty quickly. So, you know, she's getting big, you know, and also, of course, you have Vanessa Hudgens and Jamie Chung. And then I saw Jenna Malone, and Jenna Malone was, like, you know, really big, especially in the late 90s. She was, like, the indie girl,
yeah,
right?
She was, like, the indie queen.
Yeah, but she kind of stuck out as a sore thumb because, you know, she's not one of these, like, more, like, model-type chicks. And I was like, oh, it's really interesting. She's this movie. And I watched this movie, and I realized, oh, she's here because she can act.
She also happened to be the hottest I've ever seen her.
Oh, by far. But I gotta say, she was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought that...
she brought such emotional and gravity to her character.
Yeah, I thought she was the best actor in the movie by far. And mm-hmm. I also thought that Abby Cornish was also very good. I thought...
I thought Jamie Chun was good for a reality star.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Chun, she's one of the... It's funny, everyone's like, this real world... It's like, listen, if you want to be a star, don't go to the real world.
Yeah.
Jamie Chun is a chupacabra. And what I mean by that is, like, she is just the one in a million, you know? She's a super hot Asian chick with big, real boobs, and she doesn't have any kind of accent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's very marketable, and that's why you're going to continue seeing her in movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not a bad actress. She's just not a good actress either.
For a reality TV star, she's fine.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing. I mean, like, you know, she's not any worse than Megan Fox. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like...
Exactly. But I gotta say, I was really impressed by Jenna Malone, and I'd be really happy to see her in more movies, because, you know, she was in everything in the late 90s, mm-hmm. from, like, Donnie Darko to, like, I think she was in Boys Don't Cry, I don't know, she was in everything, and then she, you know, hadn't been in as much. She was in, like, that Ruins movie, you know, some horror movie, so I really liked her a lot in it. And you know, just visually speaking, I mean, Zack Snyder is a pimp when it comes to visual stuff.
Yeah, he is amazing.
And I have to say, the reason why we love him so much as an action director, and why we think he's probably the best action director working right now, is the thing is that there's a lot of people that do not know how to incorporate special effects in a correct way to action scenes. One of the good examples is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, God,
remember how
awful.
Bad those special effects looked,
and
how
the claws looked terrible. Everything looked terrible.
And the way they're incorporated into the action looks so cheesy and so mm-hmm. not real. The thing about Zack
Snyder, you can practically see borders around them.
Yeah, the thing about Zack Snyder and his action is, like, you know, there is a perfect mix of the way the special effects look with the action.
Yeah.
And that is not as easy as people think. People think you just throw everything in a computer and it'll look great.
Yeah, when Superman flies, you're going to think he's flying.
Exactly. And that's what I got most excited about. I was watching this whole movie going, well, you know, there's things I don't like, but I am so happy that this guy is directing Superman.
The other thing is that we've made a lot of complaints lately about a lot of these action movies where they take all the shots so close that you have no idea what's going on. It's just a big jumbled mess. Zack Snyder understands how to direct, how to shoot things so that you can actually see what's going on, so that you can see everything that's going on. I mean, we've had lengthy discussions now on our own about the tiny little things that were happening in each battle, because you could see everything that was going on, because he made sure to get a lot of, he does wide shots. He does a lot of shots where you can actually tell exactly what's happening. Who's foot is kicking who? And
yeah, well, it's a two-part problem when it comes to action movies. The first is everything's shot too close.
Mm-hmm.
But second is the fact that it's editing. Is the fact that everything is so quickly cut during these scenes. I think the perfect example was, you know, how awesome is it that we get Jet Li versus Dolph Lundgren in The Expendables?
Oh my God,
this is like a martial art film fans, like, dream, right? And then it's cut to hell. We have no idea what's going on.
It was one of the most disappointing things for that film. Like, I was so upset after seeing that. I was like, I was waiting for the most epic battle ever, and it was shot, like, from behind a fence. And
I think it was paparazzi footage.
It was one of the worst shot fight scenes I had ever seen, and one of the worst edited fight scenes I'd ever seen. And it made me so upset, because I'd been. It was the most epic thing that you could think of about to happen, and then it was. Crap.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, you know, there shouldn't be a question of whose fist or whose leg that is when you're looking at Dolph Lundgren, who's like 8 feet tall,
right?
And Jet Li.
Yeah,
I mean,
there shouldn't be any question.
And so, you know, I think really a lot of this started in Gladiator, you know, and
Gladiator.
And, you know, it happened everything from Transformers to just pretty much everything, you know, A-Team. And Zack Snyder
shouldn't have any question as to whether it's Bumblebee's leg or Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, and this even happened in Batman Begins, but at least Chris Nolan had a reason. It was because the guy couldn't move around in that big Frank Miller-inspired Batman costume, and which he obviously fixed for the Dark Knight. But I think Zack Snyder is the best one at not doing that. You can see everything that's going on. I thought, you know, these action scenes in Sucker Punch were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I had felt like, you know, if I had felt like there was more consequence in the battles, I think I would have enjoyed them a lot more.
Yeah.
But visually speaking, they were just out of control. And they were beautiful. They were, like, they were breathtaking. They were, the effects looked amazing. The action was awesome. Those girls too, they had some great hand-to-hand fighting stuff that going on there. Once again, like Jenna Malone, there's this one scene where she's fighting like these clockwork Nazis in trenches, and she was just like awesome. And you know, like all of them, it was great. I was really, really impressed by you know, the fighting training that they had done. And so, you know, those things about it, I think what's great about this movie, it's almost too bad that, you know, things like Blu-rays and DVDs are kind of going out, and everything's becoming streaming, because this movie's perfect for chapters.
Yeah,
this movie's perfect for buying and only watching the fight scenes and not worrying too much about the gigantic bummer of a story.
Yeah,
I've got to
imagine that the special features are just going to be incredible.
Yeah, I got his manager too. So, you know, it's one of those things that it is epic in the fight scenes and it is enjoyable to watch on a big screen.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you're going to come out feeling very bummed. And
You should have like a nice Pixar movie set aside for when you get home, you know, something happy. And
I know he wanted to do like Alice in Wonderland with machine guns, but it felt more like Girl Interrupted meets Pop Culture Matrix.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I don't know.
There's a lot to like about it, but also a lot not to.
Yeah.
But the fact is that what it really proves is that Zack Snyder is an incredible director and a so-so writer.
Exactly. So anyway,
luckily he's not writing Superman.
Yes.
He's just directing it,
exactly.
Which is awesome.
Yes, and you know, the writing team is the same as basically Dark Knight. You know, we got David Goyer in there, so it's going to be pretty awesome. Now, do we want to just spend some time talking about the awesomeness of Zack Snyder?
I believe that we should start that right now.
Well, like I said, you know, Sucker Punch is my least favorite of his movies, but I got to say, this guy has been hitting home run after home run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a...
Yeah, and like I said, this is the first one that he wrote. All of these other ones he's just directed, so... Yeah, I mean, again, the flaw of Sucker Punch is purely in the writing.
And the problem was, Sucker Punch is so well made. That was what was irritated about it.
Yeah, like it was beautifully made, so well made, so well directed.
Yeah, it was a shame that...
that it didn't have a better story, a clearer story.
Exactly. It's sort of like, you know, we watch, this is going to sound weird, but we watch the parkour show, right?
Yeah, Jump City Seattle, which, by the way, next week is the finale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which I can't wait for. But, you know, Levi Muhlenberg is like the biggest parkour guy out there in the United States, and you know, he's like training, and like while he's doing a practice he breaks his arm, and it's over. So you get this guy who's perfect, who could win everything, but then he breaks his arm while he's doing like a test.
Yeah,
that's kind of what Sucker Punch felt like. It was the fact that they had everything set up to be great, but then the script didn't really do it, and so it just felt kind of like a bummer.
Luckily, apparently nobody expected it to make much money, so no one talks about it as a disappointment.
Apparently though, Roderick does rule.
Yeah.
This is something that we realized this weekend.
I didn't even
Roderick
realize
rules.
That the first movie had done that well. I didn't realize Diary of a Wimpy Kid had done too well. Like, it must have done better than I thought, but I remember it being out for like a week and then not anymore.
Well, they had a lot of ads on Cartoon Network. You remember that I actually made you watch one of them that was on Cartoon Network where the kid was like singing like Keisha or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the trailer was actually kind of funny, to be perfectly honest, all things considered. You know, in a very YouTube kind of way.
Well, I mean, it was a popular book series.
Yes. So. Yes, yeah.
But yeah, Roderick ruled this week.
He totally ruled. Roderick. It's an awesome name. Rodimus Prime.
Rodimus Prime.
It's awesome. Anyway, let's talk about how awesome Zack Snyder is. His first actual movie was in 2004, and it was a remake of George Romero's famous Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, at the time, a lot of people were very critical about this movie before it came out, mostly because Dawn of the Dead is pretty much, you know, it's the penultimate zombie movie.
And it was a... made as also a commentary on consumerism.
Exactly. And so it was sort of, it was a
zombie movie with a message.
Exactly. And so it's considered the greatest of all zombie movies. And, you know, as Dr. Chris Rybar pointed out last time he was here, it's almost more of an action movie than a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so Zack Snyder, you know, definitely went that route and definitely made it an action movie. And obviously, you know, the satire was gone, but it wouldn't have fit in this time period. It wasn't the same sort of consumerist late 70s that Romero was dealing with at the time, and so it would have made no sense to add that in. And honestly, we did a huge
it's
show.
Funny because Shaun of the Dead did a better job of getting like the what's up with society nowadays kind of aspect of it by making it into a comedy with the office zombie
through their life.
Exactly.
And you know, that I mean, that's, you know, that's just kind of the greatness of Edgar Wright, mm-hmm. you know, and Simon Pegg, you know, together writing. But I gotta say though, Dawn of the Dead, especially when you look at all of those horror movie remakes, because you remember we did that huge horror movie remake show.
Yeah.
during last Halloween, and we watched all of them from the very, very bad, like, in my opinion, Halloween, and, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, which is unwatchable, to, you know, some of the more decent ones. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think Dawn of the Dead was by far the best of all of them. Definitely not only in storytelling and acting, but in directing. Zack Snyder did such a great job there. And that was a really great start for him. But then in 2006, really the movie that made his career came out, and that's 300.
Yeah.
Now, this movie is huge. This movie is the reason why every single big movie that's going to come out in a year is at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Because 300 showed this huge trailer at Comic-Con, and then, you know, and then it came out a few months later and made like $70 million in its first weekend. Mm-hmm. And like April or March or something, a time where you don't make a lot of money. And so this movie was a mega hit considering how much it costs. And also it really revolutionized things because, yeah, you know, there's obviously a lot of guys who are making movies behind green screens before this, but really, like, it became very standard after this movie came out.
Right.
That everything, like, everything was shot on a green screen.
But
much.
Again, what people don't understand is that Zack Snyder knows how to incorporate graphics, you know, the CGI elements and real people. Yeah. And make it look flawless.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, so many of the other people that try can't do it.
Exactly. And, you know, on top of that, you know, you also have an adaptation of you know, arguably one of the best graphic novelists of all time, Frank mm-hmm. Miller. But I think it actually behooved them that not many people really knew about 300. So you get to take these great ideas from this great artist, but also it's not like there's as much expectation. It's not like Watchmen,
yeah.
you know, which we're going to talk about next, or, you know, some Superman. It's something that, you know, is a little less known. And also, you know, for anyone who's not into comic books but into things like history, like Spartans,
right.
like Sword and Sandals, you know, it was a big deal.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it wasn't meant to be historically accurate.
Not at all, no.
It was, you know, it's based off the graphic novel, which is a major exaggeration of the myth of you know, these 300, you know, of the 300 story.
It was a myth, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that was the biggest qualm a lot of people had, history buffs, was that it wasn't accurate.
Yeah,
but
it's not supposed to be history buffs. If you want accurate, go watch the history. Oh wait, no, History Channel does things like aliens are alive.
But particularly with the costumes, and that was the one issue, was the fact that the costumes were accurate to the graphic novel, because mm-hmm. You're going to draw muscles. You're going to, you know, things come off a little different in drawings than they do in real life. which I, you know, hope is obvious to people, but really isn't.
Yeah.
Not quite as
obvious as it should be.
And also, you know, it was the first time a lot of people noticed a big actor who's coming up right now, Michael Fassbender.
Yes.
Who was the jumping guy.
But actually, let's take another quick break. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Listen to Geek World or die.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, anime, mistress of the dork, and the man that never stops talking, Dave! Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. So, we talked a little bit about Sucker Punch, but now we're talking about Zack Snyder and,
I'm sorry. I was just looking online, and MTV just put up a 3-minute trailer for Teen Wolf.
Remember
watching that?
What
at
a
Comic-Con? Man, we just ended up in that room. It was like ending up at like a bad party or something.
We were waiting for Being Human, I think.
Yeah. Oh man. Teen Wolf is abomination.
The thing is, the good thing was we got to see something for Falling Skies, which I think is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The bad news was we also saw Teen Wolf, and that was just the worst idea that anyone's ever come up with. I hate you, guy that came up with Criminal Minds.
If you're a moron and don't like and never seen the original and once again are a moron, maybe you'd like Teen Wolf. Other than that, it is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm going to bring up Battlestar Galactica again for a minute.
Please do.
The thing about Battlestar Galactica is when they did the remake and people said it was more like, you know, hardcore than
gritty.
The original, gritty. Yeah, it's only because the 70s weren't exactly, they were just a cheesy time.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It was a cheesy, cheesy time, and effects were cheesy, and everything about it was cheesy. And so the show itself was about, it was a battle. It was a war. So it wasn't a cheesy subject. So it deserved this kind of remake. Teen Wolf is a comedy. A comedy that stars Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
It's funny.
Yes.
It's a funny werewolf movie.
Not anymore.
It is not okay to give it a Battlestar Galactica-style gritty remake.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to begin with.
Oh, yeah. It's so unbelievably bad.
And has some of the worst acting that I've even seen on MTV. Like, although that Skins show is also some awful acting. MTV.
It's horrible, yeah.
I mean, I know you're MTV and everything, but seriously, do you have no respect for yourself at all?
Well, the funny thing is MTV has no more excuse anymore. Jersey Shore is one of the biggest shows on TV, period.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore beats, normal network shows.
Yeah, we were playing Call of Duty the other day, and someone was really pissed that they had missed Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't like the excuse of what do you expect from MTV? Well, you know, it gets millions of viewers, so I expect something.
Yeah.
And honestly, yeah, I mean, it's bad. So I would not recommend Teen Wolf at all to anybody unless, I mean, there are people out there who like crap. I mean, that's why those sci-fi original movies, you know, come out. So if you just want to laugh at people and think,
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a comedy in that way that you can laugh at the bad acting.
If you're one of those people who downloaded the Rebecca Black song Friday to make fun of her and mock her, then you might like Teen Wolf.
To make fun of.
Exactly. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, all I can say about it. And this has nothing to do with Zack Snyder.
That's right. Teen Wolf is Rebecca Black's Friday.
It might as well be. Honestly, it's about the same amount of intelligence. And honestly, it's so funny that
it's from
the guy who came up with Criminal Minds, too, which is even funnier. But yeah, it was...
That is a twisted guy. That is like he's got some mental, there's something up in his life that...
You know when, like, you're at... You know you have memories of just being in awkward situations? That room, when that guy was saying, well, you know, we're just here, all here, you know, it was at Comic-Con, there's a few people there, and the guy who invented it said, well, you know, I'm mostly just here to make sure that I didn't ruin Teen Wolf for all of you.
And there was
you
this could collective hear cricket. Sigh in the room.
Oh, man.
Groans.
I felt so awkward for that guy, because it was, like, clear that, yes, you have ruined Teen Wolf for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, howdy.
No, it's not that you've ruined it, it's that we all hate you for trying to ruin it.
Yeah, you know, Teen Wolf is not like some great film or anything, but at the same time, like, it's just it's preposterous. I mean, obviously,
you don't take a comedy and make it into gritty pseudo realism.
It's just bad. Anyway, this has nothing to do with Zack Snyder.
Maybe
Zack Snyder should have taken over Teen Wolf, the TV show, but luckily
and recast it, and I would have accepted his writing on it.
Yes, I would agree with that. But luckily, honestly, he's got better things to do. So we already talked about his first movie, Dawn of the Dead, and then we talked about 300, which of course is epic, huge, awesome, and has, you know, Michael Fassbender as the jumping guy, and also was, you know, Gerard Butler became a huge star after that movie. I mean, he was in every romantic comedy after that, starring Jennifer Aniston,
which is so funny because he's such a good action star.
Well, they tried, you know, he was in Gamer by the guys who made Crank.
Yeah.
So that movie was just terrible. I mean, it was really, really bad.
Yep.
And what else was he in? He was in another action movie, I know, but you know,
he must have been.
What are you gonna do? I feel like he was in like 9 movies with Jennifer Aniston playing like the, I feel
the
like
same guy.
Yeah, I feel like it was like they were doing the same, you know, will they, won't they? Probably will. Okay.
And one with like Katherine Heigl and one with
exactly. Pretty much, yeah. This kind of stock, you know,
he made the rounds
in those movies. Wasn't he in one with like Jennifer Garner? Probably. Who knows? Anyway, let's move on from 300. And in 2009, we got Watchmen.
Uh-huh.
Now, Watchmen is one of those movies that, you know, it's very interesting because there's a lot of different opinions on it.
Yeah.
I would say first and foremost that the failure of Watchmen is not the fact that he did a bad job directing. It's not the writing. It's not even the notorious Blue Wang. I would say the problem is that this is something that should not have been adapted into a movie.
I 100% agree.
I think that this is something that at best should have been
a
miniseries. Exactly. Because it's a gigantic story.
The thing is that those of you who read the graphic novel, you know that there is this comic book in it that incorporates things that has to do with the story that's going on.
Yeah.
And it brings in this sort of alien that you know had to be removed from the entire movie, and they had to change a few things that, you know, it ended up changing a lot more and a lot more of the meaning too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why you know, things like The Stand, you know, things like Dune, things like a lot of those Jane Austen, you know, books and a lot of other books are made into miniseries is because, you know, you lose a lot by trying to cram everything into an hour and a half movie, a 2-hour movie, and in some cases, like Watchmen, you lose essential things like what you were just talking about. That goes into why it's so clever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically you're cutting off Alan Moore, you know, at the knees, you know, this very clever writer.
I feel so bad for Alan Moore. Like, I know, you know, it gets to a point where he's a little dick about it too, where he just, like, he puts his name on things and then he takes it off, like, yeah, partway through the making of the movies. But at the same time, I can understand how upset he would be that the meaning,
yeah,
of a lot of what he was writing got taken out by the way that they had to cut things out of the...
Yeah, you know, honestly, he doesn't own the rights to a lot of this stuff, so I'm sure, you know, he really has no say about it. I really feel like he's sort of like, you know, there are times in when they have works of classic art where in the past they were cut down for certain reasons. Like, sometimes it was even as dumb as to fit through a door.
Or somebody painted a fig leaf on.
Exactly, exactly. And so it's sort of like you take these great pieces of art and then you, like, castrate them, essentially, for no other reason other than, you know, someone made the decision. And that's sort of what happens to his stories. Mm-hmm. And usually it is just to shorten things up because he writes a lot. I mean, his all of his books are very, all his comic books are very dialogue heavy, and, you know, it's hard to get all that into a movie. But essentially, you know, that's a big problem with Watchmen. And aside from that, you know, it came out in 2009 after the superhero summer of 2008 when, like, Incredible Hulk and Hancock and Dark Knight came out, and it was a movie which is really the anti-superhero movie.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. It's about the death of superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that this movie wasn't meant to come out then. It was, you know, you can't, like you were saying, it was the height of these movies coming out, and it's still in that period where people are still really happy with superhero movies. There's still a craving for these superhero movies, and so, you know, Watchmen isn't meant to come out for another 5 to 10 years. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes.
So yeah, like when people are getting sick of the superhero genre, when people are asking for, you know, real humans again, when the people are asking for the end of that kind of thing, that's when that movie should come out.
Exactly. Now, I think I do like Watchmen a lot. I think, though, Watchmen is best equated, at least for me, and I'm sure a lot of people will disagree, but sort of like David Lynch's Dune. And what I mean by that is sort of if you read Dune, then you'll probably love David Lynch's Dune. If you haven't read Dune, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Right.
Same thing with Watchmen. If you've read Watchmen, you'll probably really like the movie Watchmen, except for the few changes they made, which are pretty big.
Yeah.
But if you haven't read it, it probably just seems like a big, confusing sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it's like if you've read it, you see all these things and you're like, wow, it's almost like he just made the comic book come to life. On the other hand,
totally did, yeah.
Some of the casting is so miscast.
Oh, Billy Crudup.
Terrible choice.
I totally agree. That weenie voice he gives, Dr. Manhattan. God. And you read Watchmen and you think Dr. Manhattan, like, sounds like the voice of God or something.
Yeah.
You know? And instead you get like, how's it going?
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Manhattan.
I mean,
look at all the particles in the air. I can see everything at all times.
I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, perfectly cast.
Totally.
Carla
perfect.
Gugino,
yeah.
Perfectly cast.
Oh, you know? By the way, we didn't even mention she was in Sucker Punch.
Oh, yeah.
Immortally hot Carla Gugino.
Gorgeous.
God, she's hot. Yeah,
I can't wait to see at the different conventions this year if people are dressed as the Sucker Punch chick.
I agree. I think there's gonna be a lot
so.
Of cosplay.
I hope there's like groups of girls going yeah. around as the Sucker Punch girls.
I think we're gonna see some baby dolls out there, and I also think you know that one outfit that Abby Cornish had with the hood.
With the hood. Yeah,
yeah, that's definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if. I agree. I mean, I think the thing is.
I mean, I even enjoyed Jamie Chun's you know the pants with all the cutouts
uh-huh.
and stuff.
I think this movie's gonna have a cult life to it. I think that. You know, like I said, there's things about it that are really great. It's just, it's funny. It's almost like a trippy 70s movie.
Yeah.
We're all together. It was sort of like, didn't make a whole lot of sense, but there's parts in it that are awesome.
You know, the other thing about it that really makes me happy for Superman is that Zack Snyder understands what strong chicks are supposed to be like.
He
understands
agree.
how to make really strong female characters. How, you know, doesn't matter if they're being pushed down, downtrodden, whatever.
Yes.
They can stand up and be as strong as, you know, as strong as anything. And by the way,
the way that
they looked when they were doing the fight scenes and the
yeah.
even with be it with swords, guns, or fists, like, they looked incredible doing it.
I totally agree with you. And I gotta say, since you bring that up, this is actually a good time to talk about Superman. There was some great news this week, and you know, a lot of people were wondering, is Lois Lane going to be in Superman? And
so
I'm about to answer that. Yes, she will. And Lois Lane has already been cast, and it is Amy Adams.
You know, I tweeted the other day that we think she's got a lot of moxie.
She does, yeah. You know, I gotta say, what was funny about this choice is that you know, I don't think it's a bad choice. I just, it never occurred to
me. Yeah, never came to mind at all.
Like, there was about, like, 1,500 different options in my head of who could possibly be Lois Lane, and Amy Adams never occurred to me. Now, I'm actually very happy with the choice once I thought about it. First off, she can act, which is really nice. Second off, you know, there's a lot of stuff we haven't seen her in. We didn't see Junebug. We didn't see, like, I don't know, she's in a bunch of, like, romantic comedies and other type things we haven't seen. But one of the things that we did see her in, and this is going to sound really weird, but was that horrible Night in the Museum sequel.
Yeah.
Where she played, what was she played? The pilot. What's her name? The one who went around.
Oh my god, I just lost her name.
What?
I had it.
Aren't you supposed to be about strong women and stuff?
Oh my god.
What's your name?
Well, she was strong, but she, you know, got lost.
She did get lost. Well, anyway, she played that very famous. If you'd like to tell us how stupid we are for not knowing what her name is, you can email us at geekworld@925kyhoy.com.
Hilary Swank made a movie about her.
Yes, yes, she did. What was her name again?
Oh my god.
I don't know.
Why do we suck?
Whatever. It was like 50 years we were born or something. Who cares? Anyway, so she played her, but you know, I gotta say, as bad as that movie was, I loved her in it because the girl had moxie, and I think that kind of spirit that she gave to that character, we'll think about later, that sort of spirit that they have, look it up if you have a problem.
Character.
It bothers you that much, look it up. I don't care. I gotta say though, that sort of moxie that she had and that sort of, like, you know, toughness, I think is actually perfect for Lois Lane. And I also thought she was completely adorable and completely awesome and Enchanted.
She was so cute in that.
Yeah, and so I gotta say, I'm actually pretty I'm pretty happy with this choice because I think, you know, she really embody Lois Lane, especially more like the Margot Kidder Lois Lane, you know? I mean, the thing about Erica Durance is, you know, all us fanboys out there, we just got a little spoiled because we basically got a supermodel who happened to also be a good enough actress to really embody the kind of awesomeness of Lois Lane. I love Erica Durance.
Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart. There we go. Amelia! Oh, that's the word. Yeah, Amelia Earhart.
Amelia! No.
Yeah, see, we knew that. We just wanted to see if we got emails of people. Yes, that's... See, think of that work? It was all part of our master plan.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. But, you know, I love Erica Durance's Lois Lane, and she'll probably always be my favorite Lois Lane, but because she's the reason I started watching Smallville. I think Amy Adams could be really cool. Now, the question is she going to stay ginger, or are they going to dye her hair brown? Because generally, Lois Lane is pretty much always brown or black hair. And it actually has always been. I mean, they even dyed Kate Bosworth's blonde hair to brown. So I'm assuming they will, but who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? So that's very interesting. Anyway, let's get back to Zack Snyder. I think one of the really cool things about him is, you know, how great most of his movies are. So we were talking about Dawn of the Dead and 300 and Watchmen. Also, don't forget, you can send us an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. So getting back to how awesome Zack Snyder is, you know, we talked about Watchmen and how it did have its flaws, but in many ways it was very cool. I thought it was very well directed. I thought the casting was... Oh, we even talked about Jack Earl Haley, who's unfreaking believable.
Oh my god,
as
perfect
Rorschach.
As Rorschach.
Completely perfect, like born for the role. But let's move on to a movie that we actually rented for the show. We hadn't seen this, and it was Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole. Now, I had no interest in seeing this movie. I don't know why. I just didn't want to see a bunch of owls flying around doing stuff.
Yeah.
It seemed like it would be interesting at all to me. I think is it Tyrese Gibson that has a completely strange fear of owls, much like Alfred Hitchcock?
I think I did hear
yes.
that.
Yes. And so, you know, I was kind of like him. I feared the owl. But honestly, you know, I kind of see a theme here. Actually, you know, there was a night owl in Watchmen. Now owls are cool. But this was based off a popular children's book series. And what was really cool about it is, first off, the CG animation is unfreaking believable.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely beautiful. And also has great voice acting. A lot of different British and
Australian
actors. You know, we get like Hugo Weaving and Ryan Quantane from True Blood. Jim
Anthony
Sturgis.
LaPaglia, who no one really realizes
yes!
is Australian.
Yes, Anthony LaPaglia, who is funny. I remember reading an interview where he feels
he feels bad about giving up his accent.
He could have gone back and gotten his accent, because at the time the only other Australian who was big in America was Mel Gibson, and he covered up his accent too, and so that's why he made that decision. But nowadays, you know, there's so many Aussies that just, you know, use their accent or can't help it, like Sam Worthington,
yeah,
who even if he's trying to do a non-Australian accent, it's still an Australian accent. You know, had a great voice cast, and honestly, I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
Yeah.
I thought that the storytelling was great. I thought it was very...
it was so beautifully done. It was an incredibly well-constructed story.
Yes.
And it's CG, but it was directed beautifully.
Yeah, it was very much a hero's quest. It was very much... It actually reminded me of Star Wars, but for owls. But I think really... But I really think the main thing that I took away from it that made me really excited for Superman was the fact that there were some not only epic flying scenes in this, but epic flying battles.
Yes.
I mean, this was like Owl War. I mean, that's really what it was about. It was about owls fighting. And I got to say, you know, the thing that Zack Snyder does that is sort of a big part of his style is he's really good at going into, you know, fast motion to slow motion and then back into fast motion. You know, he really perfected this in 300, and he's used it ever since there. He's used it in Watchmen, he's used it in Sucker Punch, and he used it in this Legend of the Guardians. And I think that, you know, that's going to look really good with Superman, because mm-hmm. you can kind of imagine Superman moving really fast and all of a sudden us, you know, seeing him slow so he can, like, you know, punch Metallo or whatever off, whoever's going to be
yeah.
the bad guy, and then go back to regular motion. And I think that, you know, it's just funny that each one of these movies makes me realize why he's good for Superman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, Dawn of the Dead, you know, was a remake and like almost an extension of a popular franchise.
It's kind of like when we watched all the Shane Black movies, how we realized how great a choice he was for doing Death Note.
Exactly. Think about 300 and Sucker Punch, how great all those monsters look.
Oh my God.
You know, because who knows who Superman's going to fight? He could fight.
The thing is that what Sucker Punch showed me is that he could fight any of the Superman villains.
That's the thing. You know, all of a sudden people are talking about Parasite possibly being the villain. I mean, they would have never talked about that, you know, in any other superhero movie, because Parasite's got to be a big CG monster.
Yeah.
He's that giant thing. But, you know, that, Zack Snyder, you can do that.
It works. And it probably, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a villain that's never been done in the movies before.
Yeah.
That something to very much set this apart, to not make people feel like, you know, to not make people have to compare a Zod to a Zod, you know?
I totally agree. You know, though it might be Zod, and
I'm not saying that would be a bad thing. I'm just saying it might not be a bad idea to have someone that isn't.
Well, you know, I got to say, actually, this is a really good opportunity to talk about another piece of news, which is the fact that, you know, we were talking about before that Zod might be the villain, might not be. And they were talking about how Viggo Mortensen might be Zod.
Mm-hmm.
But then they said, well, unfortunately, he's under negotiation for being in the one of three Snow White movies coming out next year, which is Snow White and the Huntsman with Kristen Stewart.
She's not Snow White, right?
Yeah, she's Snow White.
I'm sorry.
Is that the one with Charlize Theron is the... I gotta find out. I don't know. Because one has Charlize Theron as the Evil Queen, and the other one has Julia Roberts. No, that one has Charlize Theron as the Evil Queen.
Wait, I'm sorry. So the magic mirror has a choice between Charlize Theron and Kristen Stewart being the fairest in the land, and it
yes.
chooses Kristen Stewart?
Well, yeah, aren't you...
I'm sorry, is this a fun house mirror? There is nobody on Earth that would choose Kristen Stewart over Charlize Theron. And the problem is that they can't then make Charlize, like, ugly, because then why would she be the second fairest?
They're going to give her the monster makeup, don't you think?
No, because that would mean that everyone else in the world is super ugly. I'm sorry, but Kristen Stewart is not the fairest in the land. There's nothing that you can do to that girl to make her the fairest in the land, especially when you've got Charlize there.
Well, it's funny because really...
That's the worst mirror ever. That mirror is just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I have to agree. I mean, Charlize Theron is known as one of the hottest women in the world. I mean, there was even those ads that came out like a few months ago of her in that dress.
Where she's like taking it off.
Yeah, she's just dropped down gorgeous. I mean, without
a doubt. Dropped down gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's a word. It doesn't matter because she's that hot. I can just say whatever
just
I want.
Just fall down.
I can't
so
even,
hot.
My brain is falling down. I can't even speak correctly. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Kristen Stewart, you know, I feel bad, you know, because the thing is, let's just look at her and her acting ability. It's not fair to call somebody not attractive.
Acting ability, funny.
You need to be able to, you know, it's unfair because, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Well, that was the other thing. Maybe this is one of the Snow White worlds where it's like that Twilight episode, you know, in the
Twilight
eye of the
Zone
beholder.
Episode? Yeah. Not Twilight. Twilight Zone.
Oh, my God! Ah! Yeah, you know, I gotta say though, I guess it worked well because I never read Twilight, but apparently the Bella character was supposed to be like not
plain, kind of homely,
exactly. So you know, but you know, I know lots of people who think she's very attractive.
No, they think she's famous.
I think she has like an '80s look, like in Adventureland.
'80s was a bad time.
It was a bad
for
time.
Looks and fashion and hair and everything.
I have to.
The '80s was a stupid, stupid time.
It was. I mean, we were born.
It came off the '70s and disco.
We were born in that decade.
It came off a time when everyone was on drugs and couldn't see straight.
Yeah, I have to. There's a lot of beer goggles going on, or Coke goggles,
yeah,
or whatever. But anyway,
you couldn't see anyone under the big hair and shoulder pads.
It was a scary time, wasn't it?
It was terrifying.
I have to agree with you with that. And
I mean, with women in mullets. Men in mullets is bad enough, but women in mullets, come on.
Hey,
she mullets, please.
Hey, Katie Lang rocked that big time.
You know what? Katie Lang is awesome and can, you know, like, she's got constant cravings and stuff.
Oh,
but, like,
nice.
You know, she can rock the she mullet, but...
She mullet. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. I don't know how we got out of this.
Let's... It's all Kristen Stewart's fault.
Oh, man. You know,
let's get back to Superman.
Anyway, the whole reason I brought this up.
Oh, yeah, because Viggo is no longer working on that movie because he realized that she is not the fairest in the land, and he should just kill her.
I think I realized how dumb the idea was. Basically,
he got offered Superman.
Yeah, basically, the thing is, you know, the evil queen sends out the huntsman to go assassinate Snow White.
Yeah, because apparently the mirror thinks she's the fairest, please.
And so the huntsman has to kind of, you know, he
break
has to make a decision
mirror.
Of whether or not he should kill Snow White.
And then
or
he
not.
Realizes he should kill her.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, now that Viggo's free, you know, a lot of people say maybe he will be Zod, and I couldn't think of a better actor to play him.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it'd be great.
The thing about Viggo is, like, man, he is just scary. Like, there's something in those eyes where, like, you just, like, you, there's that intensity, you know? It's like Eastern Promises, you know, History of Violence, you know? I mean, the man looks like he has a history of violence, is you know, and that's why they called the movie that. So that could be really great. Anyway, I'm going to just say another thing about Superman, and this is actually really exciting for us as Superman fans. And you know, originally a lot of movies get shot in Canada. And the
yes,
reason for that is the fact that, you know, there's incentives. It's much cheaper to shoot there. Which, you know, by the way, if California would bother just giving, you know, breaks to these studios, they could, you know, shoot
come back
again. Yeah. But, you know, who needs
Hollywood
that?
Hollywood could be Hollywood again?
Yeah, who needs that? Anyway, but, you know, this is actually really cool news is that Superman's actually going to be shooting in Chicago, which actually was where The Dark Knight, a lot of it was shot. And the reason, do you know why the reason it's being shot
What's
in Chicago?
What's the reason?
Well, it's because that the movie Superman, they needed aircraft carriers and attack helicopters for it.
Are you kidding?
And
that sounds awesome.
And Canada did not have those in order to provide to them. So that's so exciting.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, so we're going to see some awesome stuff in this Superman movie.
Zack Snyder, you rock.
Yeah, I mean, this guy he's the perfect guy for this. I think that, you know,
it's going to be awesome.
If you really dislike the wimpy, emo, emotions hurt me Superman that Brian Singer brought to it, you know we're not getting that from Zack Snyder. We're getting a kick-ass, you know, like, brutal Superman.
Yeah.
And it's going to be totally awesome.
And if you hated the Lois Lane that was like, Superman left me, so I don't need him anymore.
Yeah.
Stupid, stupid man.
And luckily, you know, if you didn't like Sucker Punch, he's not writing it. So the same guys who wrote Dark Knight wrote it. So it's going to be a slam dunk. I'm so excited for it.
You know, he did work on the screenplay for 300, but it was still based off something else.
Exactly.
And he worked with other people on it.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. But yeah, so anyway, and then, so, you know, and well, there you go. I mean, so for Superman, we already know that Henry Cavill is going to be Superman, who I'm glad that he's a relative unknown. I know he was in the whole, you know, royalties having sex show or whatever it was. Amy Adams, Lois Lane, the very hot Diane Lane is going to be playing Martha Kent.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner is going to be Jonathan Kent.
Yeah, I like that cast.
It's a great cast so far.
We're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com.